Our next case is 11-1757, Ohio Trucking Association et al. Versus the director, Thomas Stickrath et al., the Ohio Department of Public Safety. Ms. Long.
Madam Chief Justice, and may it please the court, I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal. This court should reverse the 10th District's judgment because the plaintiffs lack standing, the remedy they seek is unavailable, and their claim fails on the merits for three reasons. First, the text and structure of Section 5A show that it requires a closer relationship between a fee and the operation or use of a motor vehicle than exists here. Certified abstract fees are not fees relating to driving. They're fees relating to certification. Second, the history of Section 5A shows that it is intended to prohibit the diversion of revenues from special fees and taxes imposed on highway users. Certified abstract fees, as all three judges on the 10th District agreed, are not highway user fees, and as such, OTA's facial challenge must fail. No driver ever has to pay this fee, and most never do. Finally, if Section 5A applies here, then it must also apply to revenues from a variety of other taxes and fees that don't target drivers and are only tangentially linked to driving. Turning first to the text of Section 5A, the text of the provision itself shows why the broad definition of relating to that the Ohio Trucking Association advocates here could not possibly apply in the context of this amendment. This amendment is an exception to a broad grant of constitutional power under Article 2, Section 22, the General Assembly's spending power. And as an exception to that spending power, it has to be strictly construed. That means that whatever relating to means, it cannot be that broad definition that OTA is advocating here, because if relating to encompassed every tax or fee that in any way touched upon driving or somehow was connected to driving, that would essentially eat up a huge portion of the General Assembly's spending power. So whatever relating to means, it has to have some limits in Section 5A. And the text of Section 5A yields further information to guide our interpretation of how broad relating to reaches here. Because Section 5A restricts the spending of revenues from two different categories of fees and taxes, those two categories have to be interpreted independently. So the first, relating to the operation or use must have independent meaning of relating to motor fuel, such that the first clause cannot be so broad that it would bring motor fuel taxes into its reach. And if motor fuel taxes don't fall under relating to the operation or use, then it's hard to see how a certified abstract fee that most drivers never pay and no driver ever has to pay could possibly relate to the operation or use.
So, Ms. Long, how would you define the phrase relating to?
Well, Your Honor, I think the text shows us enough to reject their facial challenge, but to get to an affirmative definition of relating to here, I think we have to look to the history and determine the intent of the voters as they approve this amendment.
And well, if I could go, you were here for the previous discussion, I assume, and we had two different ideas here about what relating to might mean, affecting on the one hand or specifically mentioned on the other. What position do you take?
Your Honor, I don't think that with respect to the operation or use clause, we can stop with saying either affecting or it refers to, because the certified abstract fee here does refer to operation or use. But that can't be the test. What we need to look at in terms of defining relating to operation or use is whether it's a tax or fee imposed on a highway user. These are the sort of taxes and fees that were voters understood that were being addressed when they enacted this amendment.
So you're saying relating to means imposed on a highway user?
Yes, Your Honor. In the context of this provision, relating to operation or use means relating to the fee payer's operation or use, and so the driver's operation or use of the roads.
Give us some examples of what qualifies.
For example, Your Honor, the highway use tax, which was in effect from 1952 to 2002, that was a tax generally imposed on commercial motor vehicle drivers. And that was targeted at highway users and therefore fell under Section 5A. Similarly, something as minor as the vision screening fee that one must pay before getting a driver's license, that's a fee that highway users have to pay to get on the road. It's targeted at highway users, and thus, because those revenues should go back to the highways, and that's what Section 5A is intended to do. It was looking at special taxes and fees that the General Assembly had originally enacted to make sure that highway users bore the burden of highway expenses. But when the General Assembly broke its promise to use that revenue for highway expenses, Ohioans stepped in and enacted Section 5A to make that a constitutional guarantee.
And shouldn't we look at the constitutional language in and of itself? I know that everybody's referring to what the voters intended or what the voters thought, but we actually have language that the constitutional section is in specific words. Don't we look at those specific words and their meanings when we're interpreting the Constitution?
Yes, Your Honor. Of course, the court would start its analysis by looking to the plain meaning of relating to. But even in a plain meaning analysis, the words have to be read in context of the overall provision. And for the reasons I already mentioned, the fact that this is an exception to a broad grant of power and must be narrowly construed, and the fact of these two alternative clauses indicating that whatever relating to operation or use means, it can't be broad enough to encompass the motor fuel tax, and thus likewise can't be broad enough to encompass certified abstract fees, is enough to reject the trucker's constitutional challenge here. But beyond that, other courts, including the U.S. Supreme Court, has recognized that relating to is a term with frustrating difficulty that's difficult to apply. And so even as the U.S. Supreme Court has applied a broad definition, it looks beyond the words of, for example, ERISA's preemption statute to see what the purpose of the ERISA statute itself was. So to the extent the court would like to define relating to in an affirmative way that will be useful in future cases, it becomes necessary to look to the history here. And as Mr. Carney was mentioning earlier, the ballot arguments both for and against this amendment, which appeared on the official ballot in front of voters, specifically referred to taxes levied upon automobile owners. Certified abstract fees are not levied upon automobile owners. These fees are charged to people who choose to request a certified copy of information that they can elsewhere get for free. And the people paying this fee need not be drivers. It could be anyone. Most drivers never pay this fee. There's no legal requirement that anyone has to pay this fee in conjunction with operating or using a motor vehicle. This is a fee for getting a certified copy of information that happens to include some driving-related information, but in fact doesn't always even include driving-related information.
What exactly is contained in this abstract?
A certified driving abstract includes personal information such as an individual's name, address, social security number, eye color, hair color, weight, and then will include information about their license number, their driving status, and a record of any past accidents or violations.
So it's a combination of your driver's license information and your driving record, citations,
yes.
Accidents, etc.
Yes, although notably it is possible to get a certified abstract for even a person that does not hold a driver's license and has no driving record, such as an Ohio identification card holder. One could request a certified abstract on that individual, and that would
Does it have information about the vehicles you own?
No, Your Honor. But because a certified abstract fee is not targeted at highway users, it's not at all the sort of fee contemplated by 5A. Separately, even if this court, regardless of how this court comes out on the merits of the Section 5A challenge here, the Ohio Trucking Association lacks standing to pursue this action because there's a disconnect between the injury it alleges and the remedy it's seeking here. The Ohio Trucking Association alleges that it's been injured because it has to pay this increased fee that the General Assembly imposed, but then is trying to use a constitutional restraint on spending as a way to get out of paying that fee increase in the first place. That's not possible because the only available remedy for a spending violation would be a remedy geared towards spending. So if the General Assembly had ordered improper spending, the remedy would be to enjoin that improper spending or here to sever that distribution provision.
So you're taking the same position as Mr. Carney did in the earlier case. If we were to find this unconstitutional, you're saying at most we could just sever this or find the spending portion of it unconstitutional, but the truckers would still have to pay the tax.
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct. However, the fact that the provision would be severable actually goes back to the more fundamental threshold question of standing. Because if the remedy of fee cancellation is not available here, then the injury the truckers have asserted is not redressable in this action.
So you're saying that the fact that they paid what might be termed to be an unconstitutional tax does not give them standing?
Your Honor, in no event is this an unconstitutional tax.
I mean, if we were to find it so, the idea is they cannot challenge what they are alleging to be an unconstitutional tax.
Your Honor, if they had raised a challenge to the constitutionality of this fee, then they would have standing to pursue that. But here what they have raised is a constitutional challenge based on a spending violation, not on the ability to levy that tax or fee at the outset. Those are separate legislative acts, levying a tax and spending revenue. Here they're challenging the spending as unconstitutional. But even if the spending were unconstitutional here, that would say nothing about the initial validity or invalidity of the fee imposed. Section 5A is solely a spending restraint, so there's no way that the fee itself can violate Section 5A. The way it's spent could perhaps allegedly violate Section 5A, but the fee itself could not. So the only way that a remedy here could get back to the fee is if the truckers are correct that this provision is not severable. And that conclusion is incorrect for a variety of reasons. It's seen in both Edmondson and by applying the three factors of the Geiger analysis that this court typically applies for severability purposes.
If we find the spending limit to be the spending provision to be unconstitutional, is there a refund involved here?
Your Honor, there wouldn't be a refund at issue in this particular action. However, there is a separate putative class action pending to seek a refund of the fees already in excess of $2, the fees collected.
I see.
So that would be an issue in a future case to be considered. I will go ahead and reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Thank you. Ms. Rice.
Madam Chief Justice, Justices, may it please the Court. The people of Ohio have given special constitutional status to fees related to the registration, use, and operation of motor vehicles in Ohio. By enacting the amendment to Ohio Revised Code 4509.05, the General Assembly has wandered from that constitutional obligation. Council has suggested that Section 5A is an exception to Article 2, Section 20. They cite that, though, without any sort of proposition of law, and we would suggest that these two constitutional provisions stand independently, they stand on their own, and one cannot limit the other. Further, they admit that relating to a part of a constitutional provision, not a statute, should be given its plain meaning if that is possible, and that for this Court's purposes should be the meaning that an ordinary, reasonable person would believe relating to mean. It's interesting to listen to their and read their brief about what relating to is, because frankly, their definition reads relating to out of the Constitution. It renders it meaningless. Relating to is broad. It encompasses a number of things. And again,
the question I have that kind of relates back to the other case. I mean, you heard Mr. Ayler, I believe was his name, say that he didn't think that relating to was broad enough to encompass your abstracts in this case. And the danger is that if we make this broad definition of relating to, does that then affect the CAT tax ability in many different ways? Because a lot of these companies have some facet that may be relating to, under your broad definition, to highway fuels, and now they're not subject to the CAT tax either. So there's cases are, we have to be very careful that they're interrelated, because if we go as broad as you want, there's a lot more CAT tax that's not going to be collected than is currently in the first case.
It's interesting. When we look at these two cases side by side, we've always thought, and frankly the 10th District and the lower court got this right, we believe we are, the relating to definition that applies to us is much less broad than would need to be for the CAT tax issue. I think both cases can go forward here, both cases can win, but I think if they are successful on their side, I think the court has to find that driving record abstracts relate to the operation and use.
And so therefore any company that collects, that pays the fee for the abstract, they take that out of their calculation for the CAT tax now?
Again, I'm not making an argument about the CAT tax. As I understand it, that is a different animal than what we're dealing with here with regard to this particular fee. As I understand the CAT tax, it is a tax on the privilege of doing business and how that is construed with the fuel issue.
But I think you say it's relating to the fuel, and their argument is it's not subject to CAT, and so if you're saying yours is related to fuel, it can't be part of the CAT tax for those two to be consistent.
I don't think ours is relating to fuel. The fee that we have got relates to the operation or use of vehicles, and you can't have a driving record abstract without that. And the interesting thing, Justice O'Connor, I heard your question about what is contained in it. The driving record abstract really is the backside of Ohio's regulatory scheme related to motor vehicles. You've got the license piece, you've got the abstract, you've got the history, and you can't have a history without the use and operation of a motor vehicle.
Can you get a certified abstract of a person with ID? The Attorney General argued that you can get a certified abstract of somebody's ID that doesn't have a driver's license.
Right. But again, we are dealing here with folks that are paying for.
Those abstracts would be subject to the 5%, but your abstracts would not.
I think that the abstracts relating to, again, operation or use have to come within here.
How do they relate to an operation or use of a vehicle? How does the fact that the government, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles, has this catch of data, how does that relate to the average owner of a motor vehicle driving down the road?
Again, it is part of, I think, Ohio's regulatory scheme. The $2 before this increase has always gone to the BMV, the agency that regulates how motor vehicles are registered, licensed, how highways are
used. You pay a fee to do, if you're going to register your vehicle in the state of Ohio and you're going to also maintain a driver's license in Ohio, those are separate fees that the owner of the vehicle and the registered driver with a driver's license pays, does it not?
That's correct.
Okay, so those the maintenance of those records and the repository of those records with the motor vehicle are paid and supported by a different mechanism.
Okay, but I go back to the term relating to. Let's, again, ask your neighbor, ask your spouse, does a driving record relate to operation or use of a vehicle? It's like a credit report. Does a credit report relate to somebody's credit? A reasonable person is going to say, absolutely it does. It's like a report card. Does it relate to education? It absolutely does. The way they want to read this is...
buying a motor vehicle relate to the operation of a motor vehicle?
Say that one more time, please.
Does purchasing a motor vehicle relate to the operation of a motor vehicle highways?
I don't think the purchase does.
You can't operate
does.
A motor vehicle unless you buy one or rent one.
Well, I think I don't think that's true. I think you can operate one by borrowing one. I used to borrow my parents, so I don't think you need to buy one. I don't think you need to rent one.
You need
a license to drive one.
But if you do buy one and you operate it, that relates, right?
And you operate it, yes. And that operation would be reflected on...
So the tax then on... purchasing of an automobile needs to be put in the special fund as well?
Absolutely not. This is
but it relates. So you're obviously drawing a distinction. There's a zone here. Where would you draw that line? I know you have this specific case, but we're kind of looking ahead too. If there are depending how these cases come out, if there are other challenges, where do we draw that line?
Yeah, I think the line really is, again, going back to, you know, what is the regulatory scheme here in Ohio? Title 45, take a look at the fees and taxes that are imposed under that title. You know, sales tax doesn't fall under there. We're not talking about a tax on the purchase. We're not talking about, again, some of the other court fees on vehicle accidents or citations. That's for the use of the courts. None of those things really fall under Title 45. I mean, I think if you keep it within that scheme, it's a very self-contained scheme. You've got licenses on the front end. You've got the abstract on the back end.
Kind of following up on Justice Cupp's observation here, and what I asked the Attorney General, the number of automobiles and the type of automobiles that you own, that you are operating, aren't contained in this report.
But that shouldn't matter.
Well, it's related to the operation of a motor vehicle, and it doesn't even keep track of what the motor vehicle is. It may keep track of your height, your weight, your address, your birth date, you know, everything on your driver's license, and any accidents you might have gotten into, which it does, but not necessarily in the motor vehicle that you operate.
Right, but it goes to your operation or use of any motor vehicle. And it doesn't necessarily go to you owning a motor vehicle, and that's not what Section 5A say. It says relating to the operation or use. So I don't think we can get confused by the which particular vehicle or which ownership. It is a history of your driving activity, whatever the vehicle it is that you've used. And going back to why this is important in terms of why this goes to the regulation, this is what the BMV does. They regulate who can drive. They regulate who can use the roads. Hopefully they regulate safer.
Actually, the courts do that.
Okay, that's correct. The BMV licenses, the BMV then reinstates.
They respond to what the courts tell them with regards to driving records, and they are just merely a repository of data.
As I understand it, though, there are administrative suspensions that come directly from or through the BMV when points are taken on. And again, you're right.
Right,
that's adjudicated
which is
through the courts.
Through the operation of law enforcement and the court system.
But it is that particular scheme. It is the BMV. And you know what is telling to this is until this statute and driving record abstracts have been around for 80 to 100 years at this point. And the appellants make the argument that, well, it wasn't in the ballot language. It wasn't contemplated. But up until this 2009 amendment, the fees for driving record abstracts only went to the BMV. They never went anywhere else. Nobody would have ever contemplated.
So that if all these
what
monies...
What are these used for? What are these driving abstracts used for?
I think they're used for a variety of different purposes, again, that go to that regulatory scheme. I think.
Why do your clients want them?
We have a variety of different reasons. We've got trucking clients that use them for federal purposes to make sure their commercial licenses their drivers have their proper commercial license. Our insurance clients use them, and frankly, it goes to really the Ohio insurance scheme. They need them to underwrite insurance that drivers need to use
to assess risk.
Right.
You didn't know that to make their industry happen and work, they want to know what the driving records of the Ohio, you know, the public are, and this helps them in their computations and their establishment of fees and who's eligible for insurance at what rate, et cetera, what products they offer. This is integral to the insurance industry's business plan.
That is one of them, yes.
Ms. Ruiz, the question I have is, if all of the $5 of the fee went to highway purposes, what would your position be with respect to this argument?
I think that it would be a proper spending, or proper tax, and it would be a properly written statute.
Is this really a Xeroxing fee? Is this just, it's just to get an abstract, the record of that individual is simply created and Xeroxed by the department.
Again,
it used to be a $2 fee that went to highway purposes, and now it's a $5 fee with $3 of it going to some other interests.
Correct, but you have to go back to, I think, the intention of 1947 and the relating to language. That language was adopted for a very specific reason. And again, it could have been narrower. It could have been four licenses. A number of states adopted much narrower language. Idaho, from any tax or fee for. Iowa on motor vehicle fuels. There's all kinds of limiting language that the state really would like to put in here, and they read out relating to. I think you have to look at the plain meaning of relating to.
What is the plain meaning? What is your definition? We've heard three others.
By its very definition in nature, I think it's a broad and encompassing term. It's to have reference to have or bear respect or regard to be in a state of comparison or connection to.
So connected with, basically.
Right.
So every record involving a motor vehicle is subject to your argument?
Not every record. I think a driving record abstract is. Driving record abstract goes to the operation or use of a motor vehicle. That's the heart of what that record
is. So what separates the driving record abstract from simply a request for a public record, as the dissent on the 10th District said?
Ask me one more time, please.
Okay. So it's a compilation of information. It's not required to drive. While it is part of, as my colleagues have said, it is part of the business of your clients, but what separates from simply being a public record?
I think if the BMV is issuing the public record, then...
So it's because the BMV issues it, it makes it relating to a motor vehicle.
Well, if it is the public record, if it is the abstract, then I think it is that particular document. If it was another document by the BMV, if it was the BMV's public records policy, then I would say no. That record is not a record that relates to the operation or use of a vehicle. But if the BMV is issuing this driving record abstract, whether it be under public records or under Form 1173, which is the records request, it is the fact that that record relates to the operation or use of a vehicle that is, I think, dispositive here.
So any record issued by the BMV outside of their internal policies is subject to this?
Well, I'm not sure what, when you say any record, what that would encompass.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out is how far we expand this. I mean, Judge Klatt in the dissent in the 10th District said very clearly this is simply a request for public information. So I'm trying to discern where are the lines of this argument. Is it any record issued by the BMV under your theory that relates to operation of a motor vehicle?
I'm trying to think what record besides internal policies wouldn't relate to one of those three things. I'm thinking of registration records, but again, that would go to records relating to registration, use, or operation. Again, if you are, whether it's a public records request or whether it's, you know, a certified abstract request, I think that record, if it pertains to the operation or use, if it's a driving record abstract or some record of registration or some other record of use or operation in Ohio's roadways, then absolutely it relates to the operation or use of a vehicle and would fall under the constraints of Section 5A.
So, and any fees or taxes or any fees that the Bureau would impose for the public to have that information, you're saying would have to be used for highway purposes.
And up until this amendment were. Up until this amendment in 2009, these fees went to the BMV. And there is no dispute here that the BMV fund is a Section 5A fund. And that, you know, that's part of the issue with the severability of the two. They're intertangled, and just severing part of that makes it inconsistent because, again, that fee has always gone to the BMV.
Let me ask you about local fees for automobiles. When you get your auto title, do those fees go according to the Constitution 5A section?
Your auto title would go to the
county auditor, I believe, is who collects those fees.
Yeah, and I am not sure of that specific question. Again, title to me, though, is property. It doesn't go to, if it's the registration fee, then I think that does fall under 5A. It's the operation or use, that's under 5A. If it's the title fee, and if that is true, it goes to the county. Again, I think it's distinguished by the fact
that... No money's derived from fees, excises, or license taxes relating to registration, operation, or use of vehicles. You have to have your vehicle titled, and you do that at the local level, the county level.
Okay. Again, title, though, to me is different. That is ownership, that is property, that is not necessarily the privilege of operating the vehicle. There are other taxes and fees that go to that. I think that's the separation in all of these cases, that slippery slope they want to go down, court fees and public records fees and sales tax fees. Those are very different things than fees that go to the registration, operation, or use. And again,
well, if you pay a speeding fine, that's directly related to the operation of your motor vehicle.
But the speeding fine goes to the court.
I understand that.
Right.
Maybe that needs to go to the highways.
I don't think I think that's different.
I don't think it does, but, you know, right. I mean, how far do we take this? I think, you know, following up on the questions that Justice McGee-Brown and Lanziger have asked, it is a slippery slope. You just use that term, and I'm concerned if we are, you know, making this so elastic and so expandable, where do we stop?
But again, I don't think we're making that very elastic. We are looking at traditionally a BMV fee. We are looking at the backside of what typically was the licensing side. Again, it's a full circle. The license information is on the abstract. And if we go with the state's version of this, you literally read relating to out of the Constitution. The voice of the people and what they enacted here should be given some meaning.
Counsel, are you making a facial challenge, or is there evidence in the record that these abstracts are necessary or needed for the operation and use of motor vehicles on public highways? I know there was some thing, federal requirements, maybe for the CDL or something like that. I'm not sure what they are, but does the record contain evidence that these are needed for actual operation on the highway?
Yeah, I think that this has always been a facial challenge, given that it is our position, again, that you can't have an abstract without operation or use. And a reasonable person would only come to that conclusion if you ask anybody on the street. That being said, I think there are examples of how this plays, and that there are folks that do need these for their operations. But we have always taken this as a facial challenge.
Okay. Thanks, counsel.
Thank you. Ms. Long.
Your Honors, I believe that all the preceding discussion and all of these hypotheticals actually shows that even if you were to lean toward the trucker's broad definition of relating to and how the dictionaries define this, there would really be a host of unanswerable questions here. It would be very difficult for courts to continuously be drawing the line between whether a fee or tax in its specific application or on its face relates to the operation or use of motor vehicles or not. And so to the extent there's this much uncertainty, that really does confirm that the meaning of relating to in Section 5A doesn't have an affirmative definition in that provision. Instead, it's ambiguous. And as all three judges on the 10th District agreed, therefore, it's necessary to look to this history. And again, setting aside the fact that the 10th District majority invalidated this only on an as-applied basis, which, as we've just heard, is not being pursued here, the three judges on the 10th District all agree that facially there was no problem with this statute under Section 5A. Certified abstract fees do not relate to the operation or use of motor vehicles under this provision, and the plaintiff's claim on the merits must fail here.
But they do relate to the record of one who has operated a vehicle on a roadway.
They do, Your Honor, and... Well, at
if
least
we
in most cases.
To find out your driving history, we could determine from this abstract incidents of citations or motor vehicle accidents or other collections of information. And doesn't the information we garner relate to the operation of a motor vehicle on a highway?
Well, first, Your Honor, the fee here is a fee for certification. So the fee itself does not relate to operation.
Pardon me, please?
I'm sorry, what?
I want you to state that again.
Oh, of course. The fee here is for certification, not for getting this information in and of itself, because people can get this information in other forms at little or no cost at all. So when someone is paying a certified abstract fee, they're choosing to seek this information in certified form with the BMV's assurance on the document that this is a true and accurate record of one's accidents and motor vehicle violations in the past. So you're actually paying for the certification. But if you're going to look beyond beyond that and instead reach to the content of that abstract and say, well, this contains information that's about driving, then there's really no way to draw the line between that and any document that might be requested as a, in a public records request or filed with a court and the fees associated with those public records requests or court filings. Because if you're going to get down to the content of the document, then we're going to be in a position where every record keeper and court clerk throughout the state has to, when accepting a fee for one of these requests, look at the document, determine whether it's driving related or not. The court would have to make a determination about how much driving related information is enough for something to fall under 5A.
So, and counsel, then, this is, you would classify it as an administrative fee.
Yes, it's a
fee. That is mentioned in 5A. Shall be expended for other than cost of administrating such laws. So, I mean, if it is related to the vehicle, or you know, the motor vehicles operation, et cetera, it seems to me that there's a provision that you can charge administrative fees in order to, there's no prohibition against an administrative fee.
That's true, Your Honor, but the challenge here would be to where those fees are being directed under the statute. The fees aren't being directed solely back to administrative purposes, so that's really not relevant to...
Because part of these fees go outside of the Bureau.
They go within the Department of Public Safety, yes, to other emergency management services program, mm-hmm. and emergency management medical services and emergency management agency, for example. But
Counsel, I'm fascinated. You've said this two or three times. You said this is really a certification fee. One can get this information free of charge. How does one do that? Can I see your abstract, driving abstract, free of charge?
Well, for instance, Your Honor, one can file a public records request for one of these abstracts. The personal information would be redacted from that, but to file a request for that redacted public record, you would have to have the personal information to request that anyway. So you could still get the information about a driver's history and accidents by paying the public records fee.
I'd have to know your Social Security to get it, your Social Security number.
Right. That information would be redacted. And highly protected personal information like that is subject to certain requirements under the Ohio Driver Privacy Protection.
So you can't get it. I couldn't get it.
Not just anyone can get your Social Security number. That's why the public record is redacted. Also, a bulk data account holder with the BMV can actually get a copy of the entire BMV database of driving records at very minimal cost or no cost at all. So what the plaintiffs here are wanting is this certified document, and the fee being charged is for that certification.
Thank you. We will take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decision.